Welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 Days. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, how is it rolling?
I wouldn't say always. It's setting up a bar. Like, I haven't missed one of these yet, but last year I missed like 8 of them, and I'm, you know, at some point I think I have the right to miss at least one, right?
Yeah, you've kept threatening to record the Chargers one without me, and I've said go ahead. But
Not threatening. We had a guest we were excited about, and it keeps falling through.
Yeah, he's scheduled twice. We've scheduled twice. Things keep happening. I keep flying to Florida.
Anyway, this is we're doing three in a row, back to back to back, and belly to belly to belly, and this is the second of three.
And then three rivals of my team.
We're taking 4 days off after this, so I'm excited.
We don't have to talk to each other for 4 days.
We did. I've been in Florida 9 days. We've done 20 of these.
Yeah, we've done a lot. We have very few left. We got like 7 left.
I know. We might not finish. Who knows?
Yeah. All right. So today we're talking about the only professional football team in New York City this year, or in New Jersey, I should say, in my new home state, the Giants.
What are you trying to say? You think Rutgers doesn't pay any of their players? They probably don't, right?
Well, I was a dig at the Jets. You can't insult the Jets because you hate the Jets more than anyone this year.
Yeah, I'm 0-16. So.
All right. So I've been very anti-Giants for the last couple of years. I had bet heavily on them in like 2014, and they had let me down. But they actually had a nice rebound year last year, 11-5. This year, a much tougher schedule. We'll see if they can repeat what they did last year. Here to discuss it, as he was last year, or was he there 2 years ago? I forget. He's been on the podcast before. Yoni Wiesel. Wiesel, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
When were you here before?
The last time I did this podcast was back in the Ari Gold days. Are we allowed to talk
about
that?
Oh, wow.
You've never been on this one? I thought you have.
Well,
he's done the drafts for us, I think.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, that's where. Okay.
Yeah, I put in my input.
I feel like there's always scheduling issues. Like, we mess you up or you cancel, or like, I feel like we've almost done podcasts.
Yeah, but you guys actually, you know, you cleared some room for me this time, and I appreciate that, as I can defend my team from the likes of your previous podcaster, Shamir.
Yeah, that's true. Yesterday we had the Eagles on.
We did not really talk about the Giants too much with Shamir, honestly.
Yeah, but Yoni, you heard on yesterday's podcast my prediction that the Eagles win this division. So I'm sure you don't agree.
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if they did.
All right. Well, spoiler alert, because we'll get to the Giants record at the end of this podcast. But let's start. You know, there's not much to say about Eli. Eli's Eli, and Odell Beckham Jr. is Odell Beckham Jr.
Well, let's ask part two. Speaking of Shamir, part two of the question we had Shamir yesterday, which was there's some haters in the media for Ben McAdoo.
Yeah, true.
Are you pro McAdoo or anti McAdoo?
So, I'm sort of on the fence. I mean, he's really only been coached for a year. He's pretty young. To this point, I haven't been impressed. Just starting with his hairstyles. I mean, look.
Is he smart? Do you think he's smart?
How do you respect the guy with that goatee, honestly?
The goatee? Look at his hair. Come on. He went from like Dumb and Dumber to Pat Riley circa the 90s. I don't know what that guy's thinking.
He was. I mean, they were 11-5 in his only season. Like, how down could you be on him?
That's a fair point. I mean, obviously, a lot goes into what a team's record could be in a season. But
I think Akiva likes him only because Mike Lombardi dislikes him.
No, I have no reason. We shouldn't know yet. Like, Lombardi, before the season, was making fun of him, and then after week one with his like IHOP menu, was like not stop saying he's incompetent, which is clearly just coming from Belichick. That's all we were saying.
Well, hold on. Was week one last year or was that 2 years ago where they lost in Dallas because Eli messed up with the clock?
That was 2 years ago.
Okay.
That was sort of like the beginning of the end of Coughlin when they messed up the clock way too many times in one season for a guy who's been coaching for that long.
Well, I think the problem with
Coughlin's a guy who I thought he doesn't believe in clocks. He says that 5 minutes early is late, right?
Yeah, right. And that's why the last 2 minutes of the game don't matter.
So. Exactly. Because the game's already over for him.
Exactly.
All right, so let's talk about the weapons around Eli. So already he has Odell Beckham Jr., obviously. But in the offseason, you add Brandon Marshall, so you got three big receivers. You have the tight end, Evan Engram.
Yeah, so people are pretty excited about Engram in training camp. You know, he's super athletic. I think at the time he was drafted, no one really expected him to go that high. But everyone seems to be pretty excited about him at this point. So, and obviously Brandon Marshall, you know, he's a veteran who's had a really great career. He was pretty awful last year, but I mean, I don't know if Akiva can talk about whose fault that really was.
Not his fault.
If you look at Marshall's career, his first year on every team, Miami, Chicago, Denver, his first year, he's always great.
Right. I mean, at 33, you know, it's hard to believe he's going to keep that up. But, you know, like you said, he's done it before. You know, people probably counted him out 2 years ago after that terrible year on Chicago before going to the Jets. And then he had a monster year for them. So, you know, I'm obviously Giants fans are pretty hopeful about that. I'm pretty hopeful. But you really never know what you're going to get from someone at that age. When these things, you know, when these things end, they usually end.
Why can this
quickly,
team never find a good running back? I mean, the receiving core we can talk about in a second is obviously elite, and you know, you're excited about Ingram, who superfan Robbie writes in to say is a wide receiver, not a tight end.
That was a big knock when the Giants drafted him, but actually they are pretty high in his blocking ability. They said they just never gave him a chance to block.
Every team that says I'll show you a Dustin Keller, like I'll show you all these guys who it says like their scouting report post draft says does not block. Spoiler alert, they don't block in the NFL.
Right. So regarding their running backs, I think, you know, the Giants front office takes very strong stances on certain things. And I think that, you know, they just pick a few positions where they just don't value them. They just don't think
it's worth
spending big money
on them. And then they overvalue certain positions like maybe receiver or obviously famously defensive line.
Well, they haven't spent the receiver. They put a lot of resource towards, but they don't actually spend a lot of money, you know. So until Beckham comes along, we'll see what happens with that, with his contract. But to this point, they haven't really spent a ton of money there. But really, running back, the three positions that are the most glaring right now on this team are running back, offensive line, and linebacker. And really, running back and linebacker have stood out the most over the last, you know, number of years, really almost the whole Jerry Reese era, as just places they're not willing to spend money. So this seems to be sort of consistent with their plan. They've had some success even with that in the past. I mean, they put some high draft picks towards it. David Wilson, unfortunately, that didn't end well for anybody. But you know, they've tried to put some assets towards running back in the past. But I think they just realized that that's not a great way to spend money. And it seems like the rest of the league sort of realized that too at this point, where even good running backs aren't really getting paid, you know, once they're off their second contract. So,
do you think the receiving core, would you put it at number one in the league? Like, do you have rankings for receiving cores? Are you Chester? Like, how would you rank the Beckham, Sterling Shepard, Brandon Marshall, and company tandem?
You know what? At one time, I may have had some ranking like that. At this point, unfortunately, I'm not as lucky as Alex to have so much free time to do things like that. Mm-hmm. I think they're probably I would think they're top 5 to 10 probably. I don't think they're quite number one. But
Chester, do you have rankings?
I mean, Shepard is just potential at this point still, right?
Yeah,
Shepard's just potential. Well, Marshall, we don't know if he has anything left, if last year was an anomaly or not.
Exactly. So it's really hard to say because of that. I mean, Beckham is obviously a top three receiver in the league. You know, you can certainly make a case that he's the best receiver in the league. I don't know if anyone would do that quite yet, but there's certainly an argument to be had. So that obviously lifts everyone else up. We don't know what's going to be with Marshall this year. And Shepard, while yes, he's definitely potential, but you know, for a rookie, he had a great year last year. You know, rookie receivers always come on a little bit more slowly, and he's pretty polished for someone who's that young. So hopefully, you know, he'll take another step, and that would make them pretty formidable in that area.
You mentioned the running backs, how the team doesn't really invest in them. Speaking as someone who owns Paul Perkins in the League of Leagues and is looking to trade him, you want to give me 30 seconds so that I can play for people?
You want to make a League of Leagues trade on the podcast now, Chester?
Oh, I would love to. I have basically 7 running backs that are ranked between like 15 and 30 in the rankings, preseason rankings. So I have a bunch of number two running backs and no number one running backs. All right.
Oh, that's a pretty dorky brag. All right, I'll think about it. You keep talking to Yoni, and I'll think of a trick.
So I don't have a lot to say about Perkins. He was impressive in the short time that he played last year. You know, he definitely had, after watching a guy like Rashard Jennings for most of the season, seeing someone like Perkins who actually can run was kind of exciting. You know, he was a little bit shifty. When he had some space, he was able to make the most of it. But obviously, behind the Giants' offensive line, there's almost none of that. And you know, ultimately, that's what it's probably going to come down to for him. That, you know, there's probably nowhere to run. And this is also part of some of the complaints with McAdoo, as he's just going to keep forcing guys into the line when they don't have a line to block. So, you know, stop calling so many inside runs, McAdoo. Come on.
All right, so you didn't help me there with Perkins. Let's switch to the defensive side of the ball. We'll start on the line. You've added Delvin Tomlinson as defensive end. I'm looking at what else. I think Jonathan Hankins left. Is that right, or is he still there?
No, Hankins left, and Tomlinson actually is a defensive tackle who may replace him.
Oh, he is a tackle. Oh, so he can sort of slide in for Hankins.
Yeah, that's the hope. For now, I don't think they have him in the starting lineup. I think they have Jay Bromley, who was a third-round pick a few years ago. But you know, it's between the two of them for that spot. We'll see who ultimately comes out with it.
All right, because the Giants' defense has has left something to be desired, obviously, in the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, obviously, last year they you know, they spent a lot of money and they took a big step. And you know, generally people talk about how free agents don't really, you know, spending all that money doesn't usually pan out. And the Giants were the one lucky team in the last number of years who were fortunate enough that their defense really, you know, all their investments really paid off. I mean, no one really expected Janoris Jenkins to be anything. Everyone laughed at the Giants when they signed him. And, you know, he was incredible last year. And obviously, Olivier Vernon is also great. So, you know, they still have those guys coming back. They're still on the young end. That's the one thing about all the signings they've made and everything they've done the last couple of years is they're bringing in guys who are still trending up on the age curve. So, you know, these guys still have plenty of potential. There's no reason to expect that really anyone on this defense is going to decline terribly. You know, the oldest guy they had is Dominic Rogers-Cromartie, the oldest impact defender, I should say. And
see, is he playing the nickel or is he starting over Eli Apple? What's the plan?
Well, he's been playing the nickel, but you know, these days you usually have three cornerbacks out there anyway. So between Apple, Jenkins and Rogers-Cromartie, that's arguably the Giants' strong point.
And then obviously you have Landon Collins back there. But hold on, we skipped the linebackers. Yeah. This might be the most anonymous group of linebackers in the league.
I think the Giants did also, so you know, what's the difference? the guy they're most excited about is the middle linebacker BJ Goodson. He is their fourth round pick from last year, who they have pretty high hopes for. I've heard good things so far in camp about him, although in the preseason games I haven't been terribly impressed by what I've seen. But yeah, they don't really, you know, like I said earlier, it's just not an area that they value, and they just don't invest there. You know, they're obviously the defensive line is where they have most of their money. The secondary, They have plenty of money they put in there and plenty of high draft picks that they've put there, but they just seem to never really care about linebackers too much. And you know, that you see how that plays out during a lot of their games, where you know they have a lot of trouble. The things they have the most trouble with are running quarterbacks and screen passes, because they just have no linebackers. So you know, they don't really have anyone to chase those types of plays down, and that's been the case for years. But yet, you know, like last year, clearly that wasn't a big issue. Their defense was still outstanding. So, last year actually proved that, you know, not investing in certain areas can still pan out for you. So,
well, Landon Collins can also, you know, can play the run game like a linebacker, obviously.
Yeah, that's definitely helped a lot, you know, when you have a guy like that out there. But
the other starting safety, I've never heard of this guy, Michael Thompson.
Oh, no, Darian Thompson. So, Michael Thompson was, they hoped for a couple of years, was going to end up being that safety. He never really stuck around. He couldn't stay healthy, and I don't think he even played. I'm not sure he played a game at all. But Darian Thompson, he was their third round pick last year. They were really excited about him. He's a ball hawking free safety, who they think changes the game when he's on the field. Unfortunately, that he hasn't been able to stay. He wasn't able to stay on the field at all last year. But this year, he's healthy so far, and you know, he has a leg up. And if he is, you know, what they hope he can be, you know, their secondary is going to be devastating.
Are you ready for the roster game, Yoni?
Sure.
So you should have studied. Do you think, Chester, do you think people ever cheat at the roster game?
Well, we know that Gleicher did.
Well, he didn't cheat. He, like, literally said, I'm on bears.com or whatever.
Yeah, I think if people are going to cheat, they have to be more subtle about it.
Yeah, is he banned? I still like that the Raiders website doesn't search by... They also have two number twos. That's bizarre.
Who, the Raiders?
The Giants. They have two guys wearing number two. Only one can make the team.
Well, one of them ain't making the team, so that's bad news for...
By the way, before we talk about the roster game, let's talk about Geno Smith. Is he making this team?
Oh, man, Geno Smith. You know,
how bad has he been in the preseason? I haven't really followed his...
So preseason. He was looking... in Geno fashion, he was looking really good in the Browns game on Monday night, and then he brought them downfield and threw, like, a ridiculous interception at the goal line. Like, something just awful.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you get from Geno. He can look good.
Usually he doesn't lead you downfield, so that's not really what you get.
He was playing against the second team defense in a preseason, second half of a preseason game. So, I mean.
And the Giants like keeping two QBs usually, right?
They have their developmental QB. They had in the past, it was Ryan Nassib. And,
right. Now Nassib's gone and it's Davis Webb.
Yeah, they drafted Davis Webb in the third round.
So he's making the team.
Yeah, so he's going to be on the team. So they really, I think they do want to keep a third quarterback around.
So is it going to be him or Josh Johnson?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be Geno. Johnson's been with the team for a couple of years now, on and off the roster. You know, but
he's
been
around a while. Do you remember Josh Johnson, the pitcher? It's so sad that he's gone. I love
that.
Oh,
that guy was awesome.
Yeah, he was on my all-time team in our draft.
He's awesome.
Yeah.
Was he really? He was on your all-time team?
Yeah, he's the all-time Marlins leader in WAR. Yeah, you took Miguel Cabrera, who played there for like two seasons.
It's weird because like he retired. Johan, for some reason, never retired. He just like thinks he's going to come back, but at this point, it's probably like getting
close. Josh Johnson's from Minneapolis also. So.
Oh, cool story. Anyway, Yoni, pick a number between 0 and 100.
17.
By the way, you started an NL-only.
I did.
Baseball league. Does that league still exist?
Yes. I actually started one a few years ago. Yeah, and it does still exist.
No, the one I'm saying that I was in, that league still exists.
Yes, it
because
still
that's
exists.
That's where Chester and I, the only time Chester and I ever met for like the first like 8 years of our friendship.
Oh, when you were doing the draft in Steen's house?
You came
and I picked up the Kirby Puckett jersey.
For the pick up the Kirby Puckett jersey. Anyway, yeah. 0 and 100. Yoni, pick a number.
17.
17. Okay. Tell us everything you know about Kanan Severin.
Oof. So I'm pretty sure he's a receiver. I don't think I've ever seen him step on the field, and he is definitely not making the roster. That's what I know about
him. All right, sorry, Kanan. He will not make the promised land.
Yeah, alas.
I don't know much about Kanan Severin. He was on the Steelers at one point.
Well, how about this? I don't know if we need to go through the whole schedule, but people are saying that the Giants have a very difficult schedule this year.
Yeah.
Yoni, have you looked at the schedule? Is that your take as well?
I have, yeah. I do. I think they have a difficult schedule, and I think it's actually kind of strange why their schedule is so difficult. I don't know if this is common or if anyone like tracks these things, but the Giants are playing four teams coming off byes this year.
And if they had the commissioner of like me for the schedule in the 32 Fans League, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, well... Alas, you know, Goodell.
Keev and I are making sure that everybody has a equal number of buys.
Well, so they really not only do they have four teams coming off buys, but two of them are like the worst possible situations you could have. Two games where they really should have a big advantage, should have an advantage in. They have Seattle at home at a 1 o'clock game on a Sunday, where you normally say traveling across the country. You know that ten.
No, the Seattle game's a late game.
That's a late game on Sunday.
Yeah, it's okay. 4:30 game on CBS.
Either way, they're traveling.
It's on CBS. Why are two NFC teams? Oh, so that must be a national game.
No, that never happens. Two NFC teams will never be on CBS.
It says Giants versus Seattle, 4:25 p.m. CBS on Sunday, October 22nd. I don't know.
Yeah, that seems strange. I've never heard of that before. But
CBS and Fox are wife swapping for one Sunday, I guess.
Yeah. So Seattle's going to, instead of traveling across the country on a short, you know, on a normal week, they have a bye the week before, so they have a little more time. They could probably get over there and be a little more rested for a game like that. And the other one, which is a really big disadvantage, is they have Kansas City coming off a bye, and everyone knows that Andy Reid is pretty awesome off a bye. So Kansas City at home is a game that the Giants should probably be able to win. But, you know, they're somewhat disadvantaged with Andy Reid coming off the bye. So,
I'm looking at the schedule. The only like lock win you have all year, I think, is at home against the Rams. You're also at home against the Chargers. You know, that's a game you should win at home against the Lions. But there's really no gimmies on the schedule.
Yeah, no, there definitely aren't. I imagine they'll probably split with the division, and then they have a few of those teams coming. They have San Francisco also. So that's
That's true. It's not San Francisco, but that should be a win.
That's a gimme also. Yeah. So they have basically two gimmies. Their division schedule, and then a bunch of tough games. So, you know, really because of the schedule, I can see this going anywhere from like 6 to 11. You know, they could win 6 games, they could win 11 games. You know, depending on health, depending on how things shake out.
So Akiva had them number 10 in his power rankings. I had them number 12. However, just the way it works out, we actually cumulatively we have them number 9 overall. Which is higher than either one of us individually, but I guess because we had big disagreements on other teams, so their net averages were lower. So we have them as a top 10 team. Their over-under is 8.5, which it seems like it's been. How many teams have an over-under 8.5 this year? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 8 different teams. 10 teams in the league. A third of the league has an over-under of 8.5. Yeah. Giants, Vikings, Bengals, Texans, Cardinals, Bucks, Eagles, Colts, Ravens. So where are you going on that 8.5?
The optimistic Giants fan in me wants to take the over because I'm thinking sort of 9-7. But if I actually had to put money on this, I would definitely take the under, thinking 8-8.
Wow, wow.
Yeah,
Keith, you're definitely taking the over, right?
What's it? 8.5.
Yeah, you have them as a top 10 team.
Yeah, I would take the over for them. I think they probably 8-8 is their worst case scenario. I think they're going 9-7 probably.
Yeah, I think they're probably going 9-7 too.
I agree with Keev that the Giants are probably a top 10 team in the league. I just think the schedule is brutal. And you know, that can make a big difference.
Yeah, but someone's going to end up being bad. It might be, you know, maybe God forbid Eli gets injured, but someone's, you know, someone's going to end up tanking that. And all four teams aren't going to be good, even though I keep saying that maybe they'll all be 8-8. Like, someone's going to end up being bad that division.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
might be the Redskins.
Yeah, honestly. It's most likely Washington, I guess. But, you know, obviously all the teams in the division have holes. I feel like the Eagles, that's why I, going back to earlier, I feel like the Eagles probably have the fewest holes other than their, you know, their cornerback situation is not very good. But if Wentz can take a step forward, you know, they've made some really nice improvements this year, and I could see them winning this division at like 10 games.
Oh, wow. Someone's on my side. So, Keith, who do you have winning this division? I mean, we've discussed every team so far except for Washington.
We also have to make the decisions.
Like, we discussed Washington. We discussed all four teams.
Yeah, we're done with this division. We're done with both
teams. Yeah, so who do you have winning this division?
I think Dallas winning the division and the Giants being right there in the fight for the sixth seed.
So no change from last year for you?
No change. The Eagles up there, you know, the Eagles, if a couple of close games go their way, could make the playoffs. I'm going to say the Redskins won't. I'm getting further and further down on the Redskins the more of these we do.
All right. Well, Wiesel, are you showing up to my fantasy football draft on Sunday as you have in the past? Unexpectedly?
Yeah, sadly, since the second kid came along, I don't really have the ability to just leave on a random Sunday.
Ship them off to the grandparents again.
Steam. Two kids.
Yeah, right? Like, two kids is so much. I know. I'm pathetic. But, yeah.
Like, you've had two kids since we started recording this podcast.
I had two kids when in the
Shamira literally had two kids at the same time earlier this year. Our Eagles fan.
Yeah, I really don't have a clue how a person would go about that. That sounds.
He went from two to four. That's insane. Yeah.
Twins to me, that's like a little.
Yeah. The only way to handle twins, I think, is for it to be first. Because for your first kid, you don't know what the hell you're doing anyway.
Right. Actually, but now it would be easier for me to have. Like, my 11-year-old is a girl, and she's like useful. Like, she's a set of hands around the house. So.
That much more useful than you, to be honest.
Oh yeah, no question. No question.
Yeah. The baby's more useful than you.
Probably true. All right. So, Yoni, I can't believe this is the first time on this version of the podcast, but hopefully we'll have you on again.
Yeah, I'm honored. Thank you. You know, if the Giants outplay what I expect them to, you know, maybe I'll be lucky enough to come back later this year. But
all right. Yoni, do you have any recommendation for what the outro song should be for this episode?
Wow.
A lot of bands from New York, obviously.
Wow. Is that how this goes? The person.
No.
Well, we haven't asked any other guests, but we're giving you an opportunity.
I usually pick the outro song, and then people compliment it, and then Chester started doing it, and now.
No, for this whole series, I've been picking him. You pick him during the year.
Have been unsubscribed.
Yeah, I've noticed that a few of them had related to the team that they were about.
Yeah, two on the nose. It's gross.
Yeah.
Well, no, they were supposed to be more subtle. A couple of them were like, for the Cowboys, my wife was singing Rhinestone Cowboy that whole day that we recorded it, unbeknownst to her that I was recording a Cowboys podcast. So I put that one up, and Keith made fun of me. And then loyal listener Johnny D. Silvera liked it on Twitter. So that's one for Chester.
So is my choice going to go on? Is this going on the podcast? Or
if you pick a song, it will go on.
Don't pick like they might be. Johnny.
I mean, like, something is this conversation going on the podcast, or is this?
This will go on.
Yeah, it all goes on the podcast.
Out of this, we will play.
We only have to edit out Akiva's gross racism and sexism. Other than that, it all goes on the podcast.
Yoni, it will be playing over this, so pick something good. What do you want?
Oh, amazing. I don't know.
Any song in the world, your favorite song.
Any song.
It should be like literally upbeat. Any song in the world.
I was just watching TV with my wife, and the song Disparate Youth by Santigold came on. And we were both perfect. Oh, that song's great. And she's like from the Lower East Side, right? So that's New York, so you can do that.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, well, Disparate Youth by Santigold is playing as we speak. So if listeners, if you like it, let Yoni know. Yoni, what do you want on Twitter?
Mar_R.
You really should change that in the last decade.
I probably should have. When I first signed up for Twitter.
Because when I see it, I always say, like, is that Wiesel? Like, somebody
When I first signed up for Twitter, it was, like, embarrassing to be on. I didn't know anyone on Twitter. All I knew was people made fun of me.
I could have gotten Kiev. I could have gotten @KEV. Yeah. So annoying.
Yeah. Well,
now we bribe @KEV and she won't give it to us.
Wait, so it's not. I just assumed that it was Akiva Schaffer. It's not him.
No, he's like...
No, it's Rebbe Akiva. I don't know if you heard, I did my top 10 Akiva rankings on the Seinfeld podcast.
I don't know if you heard, but I didn't hear.
Akiva Wienerker did not make the top 10.
Akiva Schaffer is @Akiva Schaffer. I ranked my top 10 Chesters this week, actually, but through GChat.
Cool. Yeah, you did.
Is that in honor of Chester Bennington dying, or is that in honor of this Chester?
No, it was just members of my immediate family. Oh.
But I forgot that he had a sister. I totally forgot.
Yeah, I was number 9 of 10.
Hold on, your sister's not a Chester, so I was actually correct.
Yes, she is. Why isn't she a Chester?
Because she probably used her husband's name.
She does not. And how progressive
well,
are you to assume
but
that
does Jen
good?
Does Jen use your name or her name?
Jen does, because Jen is proud to be a Chester, as is my sister.
Yeah. So the top 10 Chester rankings, I think I had your youngest son first, because he's probably been corrupted by you the least since he's been around
yeah.
the least.
That's true.
I think I had your second son, your middle son second.
You referred to him as my Drew son.
Yeah, the Drew son. He's got the Drew's name. I had Jen 3, maybe Sammy 4, although probably after we're done with the Fantasy Football League, I start with Sammy. He'll probably be at last.
Sammy's Brazilian wife, I think, was 5.
Yeah, Sammy's Brazilian wife was like 6 or 7. Jury's still out on her, although she also is like a one-name Brazilian, so I'm not sure she goes by Chester either.
Yeah, she's just Tete. That's right.
She's just Tete, yeah. On her jersey when she was on the Brazilian women's national soccer team, right? Everyone gets like a crack of that. So
we recorded a podcast at her wedding, so she allowed you to do that. Well, she didn't know about it.
Probably doesn't know what a podcast is. She probably is not aware of that. I'm actually going to be at your parents' house next week, Jess.
My parents' house?
Yeah, that's where we're doing the fantasy
football draft. Oh, for a fantasy football draft?
Yeah. Okay. You got to give me the not on the podcast. All right. Are your parents going to be there? Am I going to be there with Fern?
Well, they're there right now, so yeah.
They're going to be there next week. All right, I'm going to hang out with Jerry and Fern. Maybe we'll do a live podcast from your house. Okay. Yoni, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks.
We got to get to our next show. We got 3 in a row. Our last one of the night is coming up.
Awesome.
But hopefully we will speak to you soon. At @mar_r on Twitter.
You got it.
Follow him.
Wait, that's @mar_ar.
Yeah. Awful. It's such a bad.
And I know.
Why don't you just change it now? Change it right now.
I don't know.
You could literally get at Yoni Wiesel today.
By the time this comes out.
Yeah. I've gone too deep.
Want to get at Yoni Wiesel?
This is just who I am. I would probably just do Jonathan. But, you know, I don't really do much on Twitter.
You're a lurker?
Yeah, exactly. I'm much more of a lurker. I'll retweet some things here and there, but I usually try to stay off too much. I talked to like some Giants fans. That's about it. I've only had like two.
Right, so you've only tweeted 1,200. Yeah, it's frustrating because you can't get followers unless you tweet most of the time. But it's like weird to tweet when you have no followers. So
yeah.
It's like a double.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. I have like two Giants takes that I really. Felt strongly about over the last 3 years that I've like really tried to push, but no one really went with them. One is that re-signing JPP was a huge mistake, which I guess we didn't get to talk about here, but I thought that
was this before he blew up his
no,
hand?
No, just now. This past off, huge mistake.
I can't stand
the field. Terrible decision to give him money. And the one before that was I was very upset that they drafted Odell Beckham, but not because I didn't like Odell Beckham. I really wanted them to draft Aaron Donald. So I don't feel too badly about that.
Oh, that's actually not so crazy.
Yeah,
that's
so I still think I was right. I think Donald is actually better than ODB, but you know no one really regrets.
It's sort of like my anti Ezekiel Elliott take. It might be correct, but because he had such big fantasy numbers, it's hard for anybody to listen to it, even if it's technically correct.
No, that was definitely correct. There's no question about it. That was a terrible draft. It was really, really bad.
Wow, I like Wiesel more and more. We're on the podcast more often.
Our next guest is probably waiting patiently. Not patiently, because he's a crazy person, I think. So we should probably get to him before he
feel free. All right, thanks for having me, and I'll talk to you guys soon. Look forward to listening.
All right.
Bye. Thanks. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.